Hi everyone, this is Klaatu. You may or may not know me from Hacker Public Radio, and it turns out we're throwing a party on New Year's Eve, and everyone's invited. Whether you've listened to Hacker Public Radio or not, whether you've contributed or not, you should stop in on the Mumble server, mumble.openspeak.cc, port 64747. You can use any username you want. Drop in, say hi, eavesdrop, whatever you want to do. It'll be a lot of fun, and it's going for 24 hours. That's right, UTC minus 12. The whole UTC day, we'll be broadcasting all day, all night, and we want you to join us.
I guess this is Ken and I having a development discussion about the scheduling system for HPR. And we've had a little bit of a pre-show chat, but I guess we need to recap where we've got to, don't we?
Yeah, probably no harm. And just as a warning, Bobo Bex, you can probably fast forward this one because it will include things like Black, Atom, and XML and stuff.
Not to speak of Perl and other weird things.
And the other things. Okay, so your question was, is it clear to me what you want to do with the system? And my honest answer is, in the recent discussions, it's probably becoming a little less clear, but what I want to do is focus on the Unix philosophy of, first of all, keeping it simple.
Yep.
Secondly, having well-defined parts that do a particular thing, do it well, and then stop. Something else takes over from there and does it well and then stops.
Indeed, indeed. Especially since we've got several ways into this thing, and so we want to reuse as many bits as we possibly can. Good?
Okay, so Epicanus, not to be confused with Epic Anus.
We really got to stop this. This poor guy.
It's classic. And as you said, I hadn't read it like that until you pointed it out. So
No. I saw the dog reference in there, the canine bit. I didn't spot the rest. But I'll never be able to get over that now.
So, anyway, yes, what is clear? What's clear is we want to keep it simple, Bobo Bex. I thought I told you to fast forward. You're obviously listening, so fine. We will keep it simple for the user. So on the website, there will ideally be a... Well, let's focus on what has actually been worked on now, and that is the HTML form, so the web form.
Yeah.
So you've recorded a show somehow on your MP3 player or something. You don't necessarily know anything. You don't necessarily... That was a bad place to stop. You don't necessarily know anything. Yes, you do, or you wouldn't be recording a show for HPR. You don't necessarily know anything about the format or whatever. You've just recorded it on your OGG, sends a clip, or on your whatever, like Mon or something, and you send it to us in that. Fine. But what you do know about your show is more than anybody else, because you know your own name. You know if there were other people who contributed to it, i.e. you might have interviewed somebody, or it might have been a roundtable, or might have been a discussion at an event or something. Uh-huh. And you fill out all the form with the shorts, the title, the short synopsis of it, and a detailed description, possibly with links.
Okay.
Well, let's not get involved in that. But at the end of the day, press the send button. What that will do is we'll submit a file and a file, the media file, and the XML file, which is a text format file in Atom element format, which is a format that can be used to describe a particular event. In this case, it's that.
Just as an aside there, is that going to be kosher data as it stands? I mean, is there a DTD that describes that?
There's a full access validation for Atom, because Atom is a nice clean format that can be described like that.
But you've just described a component of it rather than the whole thing, have you? Or have I misunderstood you?
Well, Atom, the Atom feed, so as opposed to an RSS feed itself, can be a series of these. You have the main one that describes the feed itself. Then you've got individual Atom elements, entries.
Yeah.
The entry ones being the show, essentially. But what the Atom format itself allows you to do is have one of those shows. You don't necessarily need to have the wrapper feed at all. You can just have the element for it to be a valid Atom feed, so that your XSD validator, or your whatever schematrons or whatever can validate the file.
Makes sense.
However,
I just I could foresee parsers falling over if it didn't do that.
Yes, and this is something that we could never do if we were doing it with an RSS validator.
No.
Okay, but you have to remember that this is on a website who's got the word hacker in its name.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've all become accustomed to that, but even at events like OddCamp or whatever, you could see people seeing the word hacker out of the corner of their eye and then veering at a 90-degree angle to try and get away from us as quickly as possible. I actually wanted to do an interview with somebody the other day. Very interesting. It was a very interesting topic, which I won't go into, and it was a very interesting company that she worked for. As soon as she saw the word hacker, brakes went on, microphone had to be stopped, deleted, and then research will be done on... But anyway, that's a by the way.
Where were we? Yeah, bad PR. We need to do something to be a bit more positive. Hey, Ken, just as an aside here, you're clipping quite a lot. The fronts of your words are really being chopped off quite seriously. I don't know if you want to tune your mumble setting a wee bit.
Okay, give me one second. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound good.
Okay, I'm going to have some more of my biscuit and then get back to you. One second. Yes, and through the magic of Audacity Remove Truncate Silence, you didn't hear any of that big gap.
No. I guess I'm, as show convener, I'm probably doing a bit of editing here.
No, right. Audacity has a built-in feature.
Yes.
Truncate silence. That's all you need to do.
You have to be a little bit careful with it, judging from 5150's experiences.
Yeah, I think he was doing it manually.
Was he? Oh, right. Because he was really... He seemed like he never breathed in sessions in there. Anyway, keep digressing. Okay. Let's get on with it.
Here's how you edit a show. You record it. Mm-hmm. You open it in Audacity. You go to File, Truncate Silence. File, Import, Intro and Outro. Move them over, file, export. Job done. That's how it works.
Okay,
enough about that. So somebody's just uploaded the form, attached the file, and sent it in like you do on any email attachment on any application, yeah? So it should be simple enough for people to do. And the script will drop it into a folder, a random folder in a well-known directory. But under that directory, there will be a random folder generated using the priority underscore the date in proper ISO 8610, whatever that spec is. So year, month, day, time, hour, minutes, seconds, nanoseconds, underscore, and then a random UUID or something relatively random enough so that if somebody is uploading a movie from the internet that they want to share with their friends, that they can't really use Hacker Public Radio for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yep.
So, as far as we're concerned, somebody has uploaded a virus and has uploaded a script to pwn our network. So we trust that what has been uploaded as far as we throw it. Fair enough?
Yep.
99% of the time it's going to be a valid file, but you never know. Okay.
Of course, you could always run a virus scanner over it just to be on the safe side if you wanted to.
Yeah,
Clam or something like that would be good.
Yeah, we could do that, yes, absolutely. And we more than likely will be doing that as well. In fact, we will be doing lots of stuff with that before we start automating it. And this is actually why we want to separate the front and the back system so that if there is a back-end system... So the backend system that will be doing that processing and checking will not be the same system that's hosting Hacker Public Radio.
Okay.
It'll be a separate VPS, system, which we have yet to get commissioned, but that's by the way. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's going to be a separate one, so that if it gets pwned, well, no big deal. You've got all the scripts that are already available on Gitorious, and woohoo for you, well done.
Mm-hmm.
So, from the Unix philosophy, somebody's pressed the button, uploaded the show, and it's now in a directory. That's the end of that process. However, somebody else might decide that they would like to use the FTP server, and we would like to have the FTP server set up so that they could transfer the file over FTP. But essentially it would still end up on that website somewhere in a well-known location. It's the same if somebody wants to copy it over SCP, or if they want to do a git commit or something. The file gets to us some way.
Mm-hmm, and
end of upload process is it's in a directory marked priority underscore date underscore random thingy.
Yep. Okay. So you come in on a Monday morning and there's a heap of these things and there's a heap of the previous ones. How do you know what's where, what the time order was, all of those sorts of things? Oh yeah, you can get that from you can get some of that from the naming, but do you have any metadata? You're keeping metadata of some sort that references all this stuff. I'm asking because my scheduler thing needs to have some view of what's waiting to process.
Okay, so skipping forward past all that awkward, difficult questions for a moment. That was the best way.
Yes.
Some magic will happen, and then we will have the output.
Okay.
And the output will be encoded files. Mm-hmm. The main output that people will see, actually, the main output will be a Atom feed in this case, which will contain links to the three files, or as many files as we generate. It might be four now with the newer format, and I cannot get that into my head for some reason. The name of it.
Opus.
Opus format. So it might be two, actually, MP3 and Opus, or whatever, Speex and Hog. Might be five, might even be the FLAC one, God knows.
Are you describing an Atom feed that contains the whole lot? Or you got one per type?
I think we agreed it was one per type.
Yeah.
No, but what I'm actually describing now is the main feed to feed the website. So that will be actually, that won't have any links in it at all. So we will have an Atom feed. We'll have an Atom and an RSS feed for each of the different formats.
Uh-huh.
We'll have an Atom and an RSS feed for each of the different formats going from episode 1 right through to the current episode.
Uh-huh.
So to recap, and the first one will be only a 2-week, 10 episode feed. So that's that.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I see. You've got both of those things. You've got a complete archive feed as well. Is that what you're saying? Wow. Okay. And that's the one that's on the website that says warning, 17 gigs or something.
Yes. That's the 21 gigs now for the MP3 feed.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Many takers?
Yeah. Wow. Some people download that, and you see a noticeable spike in the downloads from time to time.
I bet. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, carry on then. Oh.
Okay, now, so that's the output part. Seemed pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have the feeds, you know, multiply by two per format, multiply by two again for feed type, so RSS and Atom. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then we will have another metadata-only one, which will contain links to the actual files themselves. So this will be not an embed, but a HTML reference in the code to how you can play them. Mm-hmm. And that one will be feeding the WordPress instance, which will be run on the Hacker Public Radio front page website. With me or give me?
This is for the player you were mentioning recently on the mailing list. You want an embedded player on the website, is that right?
Yeah.
But okay.
Say, like, if you go to beta.hackerpublicradio.org now, in actual fact, go do that.
Second.
I have to post a show still.
Okay.
It takes a while to generate it for the first visitor, so I guess you're the first visitor today.
What am I after? Yeah.
Wait for it.
Failing.
Wait for it.
No, it's my crappy typing.
Beta.hackerpublicradio.org link will be in the show notes. And because it is processing the full feed, the full 21 gig feed, well, it's not that, it's doesn't obviously contain all the files, but it does contain all the episodes, so yep, it processes that every time.
Yep, it's arrived. Oh, fantastic. This is WordPress.
Yeah, this is boring, bog standard WordPress, yep, but with one plugin, and that is a Planet plugin. Mm-hmm. So what's nifty about this is the WordPress, you know, we were talking about separation of different roles. Mm-hmm. So the best, or at least one of the best, and you can argue whether it's one of the best CMSs out there is WordPress. You could argue whether that's Joomla or Drupal or whatever. And the point is, it doesn't matter because some other website could host, you know, if WordPress in the morning got compromised or whatever, we could bring up a Joomla instance or a Drupal instance, mm-hmm, and feed it with the same file, and everything will be back in. The only thing that we would need to bring over is the comments and any other swing and bling that we put onto the WordPress site.
Yep, yep.
Comprendez-vous?
Indeed. Well, that's very nice.
In addition, the only thing that we need to maintain is, well, it becomes a regular WordPress maintenance thing, and we already have lieutenants available to take over and manage and maintain that website. Because mm-hmm, that can mm-hmm be completely and totally independently operating from the rest of the the back-end system.
Okay.
Plus, as the comments, the one thing that can be compromised over there is the comments and stuff like that. But what we can do is we can generate an RSS or an Atom feed of that and feed it back to some other website, the back-end process again, so that we have an archive of them if that database ever gets corrupt.
Yep. Okay. You're still going to have to moderate your comments as you're doing now, I guess. But
well, it might be easier. And what we can do with that is we can make several admins in different time zones. So mm-hmm, we've got it pretty much covered with the different time zones. So right now, because of the level of access that you need to go in and approve all the comments, we can, we'll see how it goes. What we might do is try and have it automated. We might have it that, you need to put in the
capture or something like that.
Yeah, well, I don't like captures, but
no, neither do I.
The secret code word is, I don't know, Dave is fantastic. Just type that in and then...
what can I say?
You're the man. So yeah, it's we can change it from time to time. And if you want to make a comment, you have to listen to the latest episode. And at the end of
the latest episode,
you have whatever.
Yes, absolutely.
If it goes crazy like that, we'll try and avoid it as much as possible. But if it goes crazy, then we have tools at our disposal.
Sure.
Okay, so what I've described, first of all, is the input to the system. No mm-hmm problem. This, the Bob of X, you should still not be listening. You can still dial that phone number and press the #pound sign, and it'll come to us. You can still email admin@hackerpublicradio.org with your show, mm-hmm, or you can fill it out on the web form and send it in. Yeah. So all we want to have that available. And then on the website, we want to have nice calendars, and we want to have ID3 tags and, that cloud thing, so that when you're browsing the website, you can see, oh, Linux, click on that, or, oh, Opus audio format, click on that, all the stuff that WordPress does well.
Yes.
Just leave that to WordPress and let the people do that. But we can also have...
The tag cloud you're talking about, where do the tags come from?
That's a very good thing, my friend.
I'm often criticized for wanting to go straight to the guts of things. So.
No. I have to crucify you all here with this information. So this the front end thing, we can also have because of the WordPress thing, we can also have syndicated blogs coming in.
Right.
So that if other hosts get added to the planet, anything they hash with #HPR mm-hmm can also be brought in as a planet underneath that blog posting. okay. in relation to that thing. So we can do neat stuff like that. Plus, we can also we would have an easy way to put up additional blog posts like requested shows. And we can also put up stuff like video tutorials and how-tos. And, you know, it's just easier to manage. It's a WordPress blog. And if anybody asks how am I going to do this, it's not development time that we need to do on the back end. It's, you know, Google it for 5 minutes, and then you find out how.
Yeah. One of the things I was going to raise with you at some point, rather, was people seem to want to put together bigger wadges of show notes these days. And given that Dan is producing such great stuff, but he's hosting it himself, is HBR going to be in a position where it can offer some sort of, you know, video capability or a big chunky lump of show notes that are not in the mainstream or that something of that sort? Am I making sense?
Yes, actually. Dan's is being hosted on Hacker Public Radio's web server.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's actually running a blog instance, and his is a perfect example of, you know, where we could go with that with show notes and the like.
Yeah. Because it's the present scheme of fairly thin show notes is to some extent forced on people by the format, isn't it? When I did my first show, I wanted to produce enormous show notes, and I thought better not. So anyway, that's something you're already got in hand. So we'll leave that for the moment.
Yeah, I was. It is a bit of a thing. Like, what is the best way to ask people to do show notes? To just paste them in as, you know, just typing and put a link in, which is also fine. Because. Or do we ask them to learn HTML, which is also fine, because, you know, it's sooner or later it's good to learn that. I know I sent you to use the markup language thing, which you, as I've seen you do, take to extremes.
I think it's great. I hate writing HTML. I think it's a really, really crappy way of formatting text, but that's just my personal bias. I'm not sure there's a better one, to be honest with you, but I was writing tech and LaTeX today, and I hate that just as much. But if there's a way that people can avoid it, then it might be nice, you know, standard ASCII doc or something similar to that. If you can get away with it, is great, but depends what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I think it varies from this is my show. It's about, I don't know, picking fluff from your navel. Enjoy, boom. Yeah. Sometimes that's it, and sometimes it's like Dan's episode. You really want to go a little bit more in depth into it and whatever.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. But with the form that's been developed, there are PHP libraries that you can use to do the WYSIWYG type stuff. Like on a WordPress blog, you have the option to edit in HTML, or you have the option to do the WYSIWYG stuff and open up links and do all the good stuff. So
yeah.
You know, we can evolve.
Sure. That's what CMSs are all about, isn't it? This is why CMSs have evolved, to keep you away from the nasty stuff. Okay, fine. Good.
Okay, so now we have an input and we have an output. Okay, and that's pretty much it for this episode of Hacker Public.
Okay, then. So we'll reconvene next week, same time.
All right, no. All messing aside, there are... there are scheduling rules as they stand at the moment.
Yeah.
But they may change, they may not change, I don't know. And we also, again, have to take into account that, yes, they may change later on. It might go to a 7-day schedule, or it might go to a 2-day schedule, or whatever. So whatever we do, it would need to be flexible. But I also want to bear in mind that whatever we do, I don't want to invent something and have to maintain it. If there's something out there that can do the scheduling, then all very well. Oh, okay. But let's take a step back. Let's make blocks. So we have the input and output pretty much covered, and I think people kind of understand that whole thing. There is one other aspect that came up during the week, was CT. I don't know if you've seen that. Have you seen that?
Oh, no,
I have posted to the website. Hold on 1 second while I have a sluck of tea and I get you that link. Okay, have a look at that. So for people following along at home, I don't know if he wanted me to say this, because... But I think it's brilliant, so tough. The site is aiit.se/HPR.
Mm-hmm.
And that's alpha-indigo-indigo-tango.sierra-echo/HPR-hacker.
Okay. So what is this? Tell me about this.
So this is what you're seeing
mm-hmm.
is a website that has got the words HPR schedule on it. It's got three tabs at the top that say 2012 October, 2012 November, 2012 December, mm-hmm. it being currently 2012 November. And it's got a spreadsheet type calendar with the week, with across the columns at the top, week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yep.
And under week, we have 40, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48. And then we have the episodes filled in. So Thursday was episode 1109, AstroCon 2012, Virtues mm-hmm. of Open Source Telephony, and then Ahuko DK, the Doctor Who Restoration Team, Africa Public Radio News is on Monday, and yesterday was TLLTS. Yeah. And today is 1113. And then, you know, there's different colors for a new host, community news, syndicated show, Talk Geek to Me. So what he is essentially doing, and as requested, is, well, for the schedule going forward, for the calendar going forward, why can't we fill it out like this? So he's based it on the past, but so if you click on October,
mm-hmm.
you see a full series of
right, okay.
of days filled in. So each of the mm-hmm. days has got the title, the author, with the number of the show and what the talk was, and its background colors. So on the 8th is yellow. We had Dave mm-hmm, Morris. Mm-hmm. On the 17th, we had Bobo Bex. The 16th of a Tuesday, oddly enough, was a syndicated Thursday. And, you know, you see the different colors and Deep Geek Talk ATM News has come in there. So you get a color-coded mm-hmm, thing. Mm-hmm. So what he was saying was, well, we could publish the schedule out forward as well. And yes, of course we could. So why not feed the schedule that we're feeding to the website, include future events on it as well as they are at that particular point in time when you went to the website. So obviously we can't predict in the future that there's going to be a new host tomorrow, but based on the information that we have right now, this is how it's going to look. If you upload your show and it gets processed, then you come back and you press refresh, and then bam, you'll see tomorrow there's a new yellow block with, you know, a bit of bim bam boom or whatever your handle is, new show about blah.
Okay. Yep.
But that can actually be the same feed, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going or are you going, Ken? I agree completely and totally with what you're saying.
I like the idea. I think you're, and I see where you're going. It's maybe a little bit premature to what we were going to discuss. But
no, it's easy peasy lemon squeezy.
No, okay. The thing that I'm trying to write is some sort of engine that's going to do the scheduling based on the rules. And one of the things that it could quite happily produce is, you know, I have these shows that I can see pending, so I will go and run the algorithm across them, and out comes the material to be plugged into this very nice schedule.
Atom feed. Yep. This would be an atom feed because everything coming out of the back end has to be an atom feed.
Okay.
You with
okay.
me? Because that's the standard.
That's what
I'm saying. The standard interface.
And is that what this thing this web form here is actually doing that? It's passing an atom feed.
No, it's not an atom feed. It's an RSS feed. But
okay.
So, you know, same con. It's he's basically parsing the current RSS feed. But mm-hmm. his point to me was, well, you know, if you're having a text file of pending shows is a bit crap way to display what's coming up, and it is crap, yes, but it's better than nothing, and it's what we have at the minute, and it's actually what I use. So it's, you know,
it's great. No, it's I have no problem with the concept. I'm just because we've discussed the process of looking into the future with shows,
yep.
with the pending queue, and in fact, I think I was proposing that the thing I'm writing do that, and I think one of the earlier demos of the sort of first concept code did actually do that and said, you know, it returned show numbers and dates and so on and so forth. But at that point, I think the discussion went, well, it's got no business doing all that sort of stuff because it should just come back with a show number and a date, and that's the end, and a UUID that hooks into the actual show.
It would be a list of show numbers and dates. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. No, that's fine. If you look at the notes that I sent you earlier on, it does actually address that issue. So section 2, second bullet point, Q reporting mode, out all this sort of stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Rather than, are you running out of time or not?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Rather than, just before we go on to the queuing system, let's just finish off on the transcoding system. So there's got to be another transcoding system, which will take the media files in. Well, there's got to be a checking system, obviously, to check and make sure that everything is hunky-dory, that the email will scan for viruses, as you point out, parse the XML, make sure that it's valid, that it's first of all a scanner to make sure that it is what it says it is, that it parses the XML to make sure it's valid, then checks to see all the required fields are in there, and then that there's a valid email address, and then there's got to be an element of, is this an existing host or a previous host, that sort of thing.
I was just concerned about how one did that, but that's a discussion for later, I think.
Well, as a block, a chunk of stuff that needs to be done, that's a chunk of stuff. So that we do have for Atom. It's nice in the fact that they also supply you with an XSD validator, so you can validate it against a myriad of things, and we can check it for incidental JavaScript and that sort of stuff as well. We can also identify the email address and then send an email before we do anything more with it, send an email out to the recipient with a message. Somebody has submitted a show to Hacker Public Radio with this email address. Is this valid or not? And then you click another UUID just to confirm, and then it processes the show, because there's no point proceeding any further unless somebody responds to the email. There's always the case that it'll be dodgy or whatever, but that just means manual intervention was required at that point. So maybe they'll try again in a few hours, or maybe they'll try again in a day. But at the end of a particular period of time, somebody will go in and clean out all those old shows. That's the validation. So presumably now somebody's clicked on the file, they've uploaded it, they've sent it reasonably quickly, there's been an email sent out to them, they click on that link. That comes back and it says, yes, okay, that can be taken from that queue into another queue. The other queue then would possibly, I don't know if things have been validated beforehand or not, we'd have to just, virus, dehackified before or after or during or both. But when it goes to the secondary processing queue, then presumably we have good XML. Presumably we've got a good media file. If we don't, we can always email back saying the media file we had, it turned out to be an MPEG-4 video file, or it turned out to be a PDF or something. So we can do all that checks with things like media info and file and whatever. So there's lots of things for looking at the metadata of the media file itself. If the media file is all okay and all the rest of it, we can do the transcoding into the different formats. That's relatively straightforward. That's been cracked before, and then that part is done. Then we have the question over the scheduling. Then
yes. Yeah.
So the scheduling is going to be based on what the mailing list decides are the scheduling rules, which at the moment are listed on the calendar.php page website.
Yeah? Yes. I'm trying to write something where the rules can be changed with great, relative simplicity by somebody who knows how to do it. So it's meant to be as flexible as it possibly can be. So, what they happen to be at that particular time is largely irrelevant to the design.
I was just wondering, about that, because mm-hmm. since you started working on that, I heard a very interesting discussion. Hold on 1 second, and I'll find it. 1 second in Audacity removed silence. 1 second, it could actually be a few minutes in the real world.
Okay.
Yes, it was this link. So this guy has written a scheduler, and he has pretty much done a lot of the stuff that that we would want from a scheduler.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically runs on the same concept as yourself. So if you go to slide 9, links in the show notes. What does the program is called Reminder, and it's what does a reminder file look like? Well, it could be as simple as this. So it's got the word capital letters REM space 6 January space message David's birthday new line REM 6 November 2007 message something talk reminder Wednesday at 19:30 something something.
Yeah.
Or it could be, is good days if there's the moon on 2 days and whatever, blah, 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 blah. So what he can do with his thing is, you know that the problem we have scheduling the Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Last Saturday, so the first Monday of the month where the first Saturday just before the first Monday of the month, this guy can actually solve it because you put in first Monday of the month minus 2. And that's it fixed.
Yeah. It's not hard to program around. It's just hard to do in iCalendar.
Yes. I completely understand that.
iCalendar, I don't think it's well implemented.
I'd agree with you. You're doing a show on that, no doubt. Sometimes
I've got it in my queue, but I've got quite a few others in the queue as well.
It's amazing how you had nothing to talk about, and then you're talking to me for 10 minutes. And then there's a whole list of shows you can do.
And what's worse, I was listening to the community show on Monday and heard comments to the effect that something about said and something about orc would go down well. So I thought,
yes, it would actually.
I know about them. I'm sure I could write about them. I could do a show about them.
If you could start at episode 1 this time, that would help.
Oh, it's no fun starting at 1. Come on, start from the back and go backwards. Yes, sure. I will.
But honestly, meanwhile, okay. So here's the. We would need a scheduling system to schedule this stuff. Whether it's something you write or not is another question.
I've seen this before somewhere or other. Seen something about this before. Anyway, yeah, I hadn't quite seen it in the same way that you did, but that's good. I like it. Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so there's a scheduling system. Now, this is where it begins to get a little bit vague for me, David, because I have no real particular way to solve this issue, and I'm deliberately doing that, to be honest with you, because, for a start, the scheduling rules are very vague, right? It's not clear at this point in the discussions how the community feels about this whole scheduling thing anyway, because it could be just as simple as we upload shows. When shows come in, they get added to the output feed. It could be as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
So scheduling might be required. This whole scheduling thing has come to the fore more as a result of my experience over the last 2 years with
It's your strategy to fill the gaps that existed at the time, I guess, isn't it?
Well, that in a way, but also people upload clumps of shows at the same time. So Klaatu, to give away a huge big secret, uploads you know 4 or 5 shows from a series at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, and you know you could just dump all of them out as you know a whole week could be just dedicated to Klaatu shows. But the question is, I know for a fact that if I did that, and I have done that in the past for some reason, I just got an evening to do podcasting, and I put 4 or 5 shows out at the physically recorded them at the same time, edited them the following night, and posted them the next night. I know for a fact nobody could handle me talking for 5 days in a row straight. Like that's too much task for anybody. So that's why in the scheduling, I have said that where possible, and that's where possible, we only have one show from a particular host on any particular week.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And the other great hook for HPR is new hosts getting bumped to the top of the queue. That's pretty attractive, isn't it? If you're thinking you want to do this, yet you're going to have to sit behind however many other people for weeks on end, it's a disincentive. So that's quite an important rule, I'd have thought.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I like the idea of posting shows based on your last published date, which would be a new rule. And I'm thinking about it. I really like to bounce it off a few people, because that one would be kind of cool, because there's been a reluctance for people to get back into it. So you haven't posted a show for a year, and you know, you're going to get back into it at the same time, and you know. So that one would encourage people to kill two birds with one stone, actually, because it would encourage, say, you've got your one show a year commitment, which we're still asking people to do. One show a year is really all that we're asking people to do. One contribution a year, to be honest. So you do your contribution, and then you go away from it, then you have a great idea for a show, and you're re-enthused by the whole podcasting scene. You pop it into the queue, and zoom, it goes up to the top as well, because we would give a higher priority to, you know, in any particular queue, we would give a higher priority to somebody who has not posted shows before.
Yeah, yeah. No, that sounds great. I like the sound of that.
How would that work out in actual practice, thinking about it? Because that would actually eliminate the need for that other rule, which is we would give priority to, you know, never put the same show or host on any particular week, because that would just naturally fix that. Do you think?
I don't know, just off the top of my head, how that would work out.
Okay. Regardless,
the interactions of these things are a bit more than my brain can handle at this time of night.
Yes, exactly.
I tend to run test beds and see what they do. Oh, look at that! It's just done that. I didn't realize it would do that. But yes.
And there's always very weird ones, because how would you handle? Well, we do need to know that for the scheduling point of view, because. Basing it, for instance, on the last posted show, we need a way of knowing what the last posted show was.
Oh, indeed, yes. You'll see in the notes I sent you.
Which is why, after 49 minutes without silence truncated, I've managed to avoid the whole discussion about this, because whatever it is the community decides is the rules that we're going to take those rules and convert it into a system. And what I really don't want is to be writing something exceptionally complicated and then find out that, nah, we're not going to do that, nobody wants that, so you've just written a chunk of really cool code that nobody's actually going to ever use.
No, fair enough.
But how about you go through the points, read them out, and I'll answer.
Okay. We've covered a lot of this ground already. What should I do with these notes, by the way?
We'll add them to the...
I'll maybe edit them a wee bit and add them into the whole show.
Show notes.
Some of them are a bit waffly, because they were just stream of consciousness nonsense.
Have you heard me on the community news? I was embarrassing. Oh my god, I couldn't even figure out what I was trying to say. Anyway, it's good that you're on here trying to.
It was a good show. It was a great show, actually. The when we were chatting about things at Odd Camp, and I said to you, the shows I like the most were the ones where the community news ones are the reviews and the chit chat. I thought that was a great example of those. Lots of people, lots of opinions. Great, good stuff. Anyway, I was asking you very specific questions about where the schedule is going to fit in this thing. What is it? Are you seeing a big script running all the other sub bits, or are you seeing a web-based thing, or how are you wanting all this to be stitched together? So I was asking you that. You know, do you want something that would sit as a REST type interface web-based thing that could be just called as a service?
I don't know.
Probably not. Actually, it sounds a bit. Wandering off into complex areas that we don't want to get into at this stage.
what I want to be able to do is make anything that we do. So this is so that you have Hacker Public Radio in a box that somebody else can take it and turn it into Geek Public Radio or Beer Public Radio or whatever. So that we, and I'm thrilled that we do the work and the work never has to be done again. Or if, you know, Epicanus is doing the work on OGG feeds or on Opus feeds and chapter marks and metadata, and we will get that done. We will get it formatted and we'll put it into, we will have it as a resource for any other podcast or anywhere else in the world. You know, there will be a webpage on Hacker Public Radio. You want to know about this stuff? Here's real world practice. You want a file format or an encoding format that is guaranteed not to break all these media players that are listed and tested here. Hacker Public Radio is the place you want to go. And I want to do that for everything, everything that we do. And ideally, take it from other people, which is why I'm really glad on the mailing list, John the Nice Guy Spriggs, who's behind CC Hits, has really gotten involved, given us actually access to the code. Well, it's on GitOrius. That was really difficult, but he has got the code to do a lot of the stuff about putting in metadata into files and putting files together. So we will get a lot of synergy there and hopefully be able to feedback. So if we make improvements there, we'll be able to feedback to his project. So I went on a bit of a tangent there, but the main point of it is, Dave, I don't know. If it turns out that scheduler thing, that program, can do everything that we need to do, then all we need to do is publish the how-to and how to do it. If it turns out it isn't, then we need to do more stuff. So my vision is that there will be cron jobs doing various different things. For the bits that I have thought about in detail, I would see cron jobs. So I would see a cron job that would every minute go through and check for new directories on that folder. And if it finds them, it would inform some other script that would then go in there and, you know, do the processing and trigger that. And one would check, sanity check, and then send the email out. And then that email will come back to a web service, and that web service will communicate back again to some other background script to kick off something else. You see where I'm going?
Yeah, I do. You probably need some sort of workflow-ish type thing behind all that, though, don't you? Because you've got sort of state change things that are chugging through. You want to know what state is this particular task in, and has it been acknowledged back? Can we go on to the next state, and so on and so forth?
No. That'll be too complicated. There'll be one thing that will pick up the files and will move them from the external directory into the check. Is this spam process? The spam process would run, pick them from that directory and move them into the it's not spam, now you can email them directory.
Okay.
Each of them would act independently. There's no need to know where anything is. We could do it. We could do a wrapper. And all right, I know people are very anxious to know where their show is, but if the show is actually some sort of directed attack at Hacker Public Radio, which it could be, and you have to bear in mind that all these scripts are going to be available for people to monitor and check and see how they work. If those scripts are available to people, I don't particularly want to be given somebody, if I'm deliberately holding up the processing of some sort of dodgy script because we've identified it, I don't want to be given somebody the clue, okay, well, it's now past stage two. So you know that hack that you've done over there works. So now you're at stage two, and then you wait for a day and you see it in stage two and you keep sending in files until it goes to stage three, and you know how you got past stage three, you know?
Yeah.
Call me evil. Because the whole workflow thing should be relatively straightforward. You know, you post a show today and you check 6 hours time and it should be available. Because if you get you should be able to get the email pretty quick. That's what I'd like to see, that, you know, we'll be able to get the email pretty quick. And then if we get a confirmation email back from people, then you kind of know, okay, well, it's a relatively straightforward thing. Sorry, I'm being completely, you know, you might think I'm going overboard in this whole security thing.
Hell no. I've worked 30-odd years in universities where it's a very hostile environment. It's full of hackers and computer science hackers too, which are the worst ones.
Yes, exactly. Well, no, the best ones, I mean, they're supposed to be thinking like that. That's the whole point. So anyway, it works through all this semi-autonomous little workflow by itself. And then at the end of the day, you know, what is ready is that after processing has finished, by the way, there will be a step in there that will require a human to do the validation of the file. Mm-hmm. That will be just part of the workflow, that a random snippet of the beginning, so the intro, some random snippet of the snippets of the middle and the outro, along with the media info, file info, will be emailed to a mailing list, which will probably be me for now. But it would be that, you know, general mailing list thing where we would then be informed that there's a new show has come in and have a listen to the audio, you know, this snippet audio track that we put in. Is it audible? And, you know, does it sound like spam? And then that person will hit OK or click the approve link, or, you know, the usual spam approve link thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that would send it back to the next stage of the process, which would be doing all the other bits.
Okay. Okay.
So that whole workflow, I kind of have in my head. I think we can get that nailed down pretty easy. The thing that I don't know is, all right, and at the end of that workflow, we will have an XML file, which will have an atom element in. We'll know when it was sent in. We'll know what priority it is. We'll know what the show host's email address is, which will be the key to link them to their, have they posted a show before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yep.
You will be able to do a call against the website to see when, well, you will actually be able to download the Atom feed yourself, because you will have the Atom feed of all previous shows, yeah? So you will be able to look in there and see, you know, do an XPath query and find out for this host, show me the last published date.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
Sorry, so that will give you the answer to when they posted last.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
So then we have a scheduler, which you have.
Mm-hmm.
And let's run through the remainder of the questions then, shall we?
Okay. I think you've answered quite a lot of them, because I was not sure how much info the scheduler would actually be able to get about shows. I thought at one point we said, oh, well, all it needs is UUID or whatever it is.
But I've changed my mind, Dave. Come on.
You have indeed. You have indeed. So question five is not really relevant. I was also asking you what other contextual bits and pieces does the thing need to work with? And it can get all of those from the big Atom feed and I think pretty much everything in my list is in that bit is covered.
I do like the idea, just as a by the by, I do like the idea of I had a little bit of epiphany actually since, and I must say thank you very much for the discussions at OddCamp, because it really did help focus my mind on this problem. And I had a little bit of epiphany that if we do everything with an Atom element, you know, it describes the show with the file that we have, you know, the main feed file, and with the references to the other Atom feeds, we should have enough to be able to get everything historic without actually having to have a database.
Yes, yes, which is desirable, because you don't, the database could complicate things quite a lot, as maybe doesn't make it quite such a portable package of stuff. Because then you may be tied to a particular database, or, you know, all of that stuff. So yeah, okay. The rest of my questions are about. I sort of stopped asking questions. I got lost in my own document here. Started
about
actually
telling the
triggers. Stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, really, it was just saying things like, my original idea was a sort of if then else type algorithm, which I actually, having looked around the web, I see the is it called if this then that, the
yeah, yeah.
Which is using similar ideas, which I thought was great. It sort of supported my design, I felt, but it's using things which I'm calling triggers, which are doing tests to do things like, is today a Thursday? And then if so, then go and find a syndicated Thursday show. And if there isn't one, then do the else condition, which is, well, just fish out an ordinary standard default show and do that. And there's various, the idea was to have a prioritized list of these triggers, these if then else expressions, which would be processed until a hit occurred. And there'd be sort of a fall through case if no hits occurred. At the end of it, a show would be found and presented to the back end, and that would be it. So the code would be determining what the show number was simply from adding one to the previous show number. It would know what date it would be based on one of the rules that it's operating, that it must be a weekday, and there you go. And it's actually quite simple in concept. Maybe not quite so simple in execution, but simple enough in concept. And it was really just wittering on about that particular design that there's.
And it's actually quite a good design. I like it. But depending on what the community decides to do, that might all go out the window, because we won't get rid of syndicated Thursdays, or at least merge them in, that if somebody has a show or has something that they want to promote, or that they just put it into the regular show, regular queue, and then if somebody happens to be posting a lot of them, well, it doesn't matter, because you know they will get every time they post a show, they get put back to the end of the queue because they've just posted a show. So you get a nice turnaround like that, you know. But
okay,
we kind of do need to see how it all pans out. But either way, I think the system you propose. Would work. The only difference is that you would be appending to the main Atom feed the different other feeds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the question is, do we then, for the unique identifier, use the UUID and go away from the HPR, Hacker Public Studio /blah blah blah, because that would actually make it a lot more portable.
Yeah. But you still want to continue with the show number idea. The UUID is just an internal designator, yeah?
Yeah, the show number will remain a relevant thing, but that can be carried in some other field. It doesn't have to necessarily be the UUID. It can be a tag or something else. Speaking of which, the tag cloud is carried as a category item.
Right. So, okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's not ideal. There are lots of these micro formats, link rel things, which you can use. Well, whatever we have to use, whatever the WordPress plugin Atom Planet thing needs. Uh-huh. So that's kind of why I'm starting at the front, and the input. I'm starting at the website. I'm working my way back to see what we end up needing on the scheduling system. If that makes sense.
Sure. Okay.
If we wanted just your example of the tag cloud, if we want to do a tag cloud, well, then that information has to come from somewhere, and that has to be carried in the Atom format somewhere. And I actually managed to pass that over to Epicanus, because he's the one coding the PHP website form, so whatever he comes out with as supporting it will be what we will support in the Atom feed. Ta-da.
Sounds good. That sounds like a bit of delegation there.
I love it.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I see on the form is optional tags, keywords for this show, separated by commas. So that's your tag cloud fodder, is it?
Yeah. What we've had with the categories, you've had the option of mini-series within HPR for ages. Mm-hmm. And what happens quite a lot is people are very enthusiastic, including myself now, if you go back and look at the ones I've started. And it peters out for one reason or another after a while, and then you end up with a lot of series that have got one or two, possibly three episodes in it. Some of them are meant to have one, two, or three episodes in it. So, but then there are other series that, How I Got Into Linux, or the one that Boba Bex just recently did, that's been a fairly long-running, ongoing, your first Hello World post to Hacker Public Radio, and yet that doesn't have a series. But if we had tags, you know, we can get that information out. This goes back to the famous not yet recorded, but we might do it on the 24-hour episode show of episode 000 of Hacker Public Radio, where we ask people, hi, you're listening to Hacker Public Radio. As you're listening to this, can you write down, you know, show, can you improve the show notes on the episodes and write down tags?
Yes.
And I actually, the other David Whitmore is going through those for us as well, but it's probably too much of a task, any one person to go through all 1,112 episodes or something.
Yes, I would have thought so, yes. It'd be nice to think of an algorithmic way of doing some of that, but anyway.
Well, one thing that I need to fix, by the way, when all this is done, then we can do the nice stuff like figuring out how to feckin' post this to archive.org. Yes, I know that Jason Scott sent me a thingy on how to do that, and I will get to it. It's on the list. But yes, there's loads of stuff we need to do. And one problem I have as not yet solved, or not even come up with any idea of how to solve, has been speech to text.
Right.
So I would like, even bad speech to text would be better than no speech to text. So something that we can plug in the episodes into and get something-ish about what they were talking about.
Yeah, it's a laudable...
Go fix that one, Dave.
Not this week. Yeah, nobody's really solved that one, have they? There's a whole bunch of people who do transcriptions. There's sort of crowd-sourced transcription groups that look after some podcasts, I believe, aren't they?
Google Voice had for a while a service, I thought, where they were collecting voices, and they would do a text to speech on it, do the closed caption. YouTube, if you uploaded videos up there, that you could get the closed caption added to it. So maybe that is something that we could look at as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anybody listening to this show who has ideas about that, please get in contact with us, and you can become the vice president of auditory enhancement.
Great. Good. Okay, so I have reached a natural conclusion in my list of questions.
Getting started, Dave.
We'll come back for episode 2 next week, I guess, you know.
Just another thing while I mention it. What I would like to do is give hosts their own hackerpublicradio.org email address, or possibly another email address, so that is the one that goes into the show notes. And then it's a redirect to your own whatever other email you have, so that at least we could possibly pass those things through some spam filtering or whatever before it gets to you. I don't know if that's an idea, but that's another thing that I was thinking about. I have loads of ideas. All I need now is lieutenants and lieutenantesses. Is that a word?
Yes, indeed. Well, hopefully so. Things are certainly livening up on the development list and so forth, so who knows.
Yeah, and I must again apologize for your scheduling thing, because I don't know the scope of it yet. What I'm hoping to do is I'm going to manually, when I get time, and it has to be soon, it really does, I'm going to beta.hackerpublicradio.org site is currently being fed by an RSS feed. What I want to do is convert that to a Atom feed. So the current database will be fed via an Atom feed to the beta website, so that then we can put that live, so that at least the front-end WordPress thing is live. And then what we can do is we will have a known good system for... So if the Atom feed that we produce with the new system is identical to the one that has been produced, well, then nothing changes. We don't need to migrate comments or anything weird like that. Make sense?
Yep.
Okay.
Fantastic.
All right. I will post tonight's show, which I have no idea what it is. It's actually a syndicated Thursday that was sent in during the week. So I better go do that because there is only 2 more hours before the clock turns.
Yes, it's getting late. It's getting later for you than for me. But okay, I'll look after this show and do the necessary then, and send it to you in whatever form you wish.
Black dash dash best. Although it's recorded in WAV, so that's fine too. Just
yeah,
send it.
Yeah.
Or in fact, don't bother. I have it here, so I can do it
as you wish. But you know, since I was going to do the notes end of things, tidy up these notes so they actually make some sense to others. I can happily look after it if you want.
Yeah, fine. Do that. Yeah, perfect.
I've got more time than you.
Yeah, sad to say it's true.
Okay.
All right, Dave. Thanks very
Ken.
Much.
That's
appreciate
fantastic.
It.
Okay.
Bye.
Speak to you again. Cheers.
Oh, and tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Happy Bubbly Radio. We don't have enough shows. Always send us in your shows. And if you could tell us if you can do some backup shows. I was thinking during the day about what type of backup shows would be cool that would never go off in the queue. For example, a collection of PodSafe music or Creative Commons music that you would like to hear. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about another project, but I don't have time. Okay, bye.
Okay, cheers, Ken.
See, the thing is, I don't know when to stop talking.
All right.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.